Hello and welcome back to another edition of the second part of the podcast. We're going to call up a DG here because we have to talk about the Wild. They're having a wild season, insert laugh track. So yeah, why don't we kind of look at where we are in the season and going forward. But first, let's take a step back to the trade deadline. How well did the Wild address their needs?
They certainly tried. It's kind of interesting. I think there's a clear goal by Bill Guerin that they did. So because the people that they added, so the three kind of, I don't know if you call them secondary trades, but definitely not the big one that they did, right, were to add Tyson Jost, Nick DeLaurier, and Jacob Middleton. And like all three of these guys are penalty killers. They're not really goal scorers. Tyson Jost could be a goal scorer maybe in the future, but none of them can score goals at all, right? Nick DeLaurier is a guy that you bring out to fight other people. If you need some faces punched, he's your guy. And I think one of the things is that Marcus Foligno kept trying to punch people, and that's not really the best use of a Marcus Foligno person, right, but he clearly saw that as his role. And so he kept punching people. And I feel like Bill Guerin went and got Nick DeLaurier just to kind of tell Marcus Foligno to knock it off.
Stop punching people.
Stop it.
That's what that guy's here for.
Yes. And he hasn't really punched too many people yet. And then he scored a goal in his first game, which was, the first game was hilarious. Nick DeLaurier's first game. Like, he is this goon, the goon of all goons. And then he comes out and he scores a goal on his first shift and the crowd goes nuts and he's hitting people all over the place and he just becomes a crowd favorite. And it's one of those things like, yeah, there will be games where your fourth line, no talent guys are the crowd favorite, but he's really not. That's not who he is. He's not going to be a positive impact on this team. No.
Yeah. Well, How about Jake Middleton? Has he got any positive impact?
I think Jacob Middleton hasn't played very much. Like, this is the first season he's ever really played. And so, like, they traded Kaapo Kähkönen, which I don't think Kaapo Kähkönen has ever really proven that he's someone that you want as anything other than a backup, right, so far. And he may be in the future, but, like, I think the Wild have other options, and we can talk about that. But
he started off the year pretty good. Did he kind of cool off after that?
He plays okay if he gets a lot of time. And I don't know. And then sometimes he doesn't. So I don't know. Yeah. Like,
it did seem inconsistent over the years.
Yeah, yeah, he's not someone that you trust as a number one goalie. Right. And so Kaapo Kähkönen got traded, and the Wild gave up a fifth-round pick, which, whatever, when was the last time a fifth-round pick turned out well for the Wild?
Wasn't Kirill Kaprizov a fifth-round pick? Is that the joke?
Yeah. Yeah, but other than that...
I knew there was a punchline there somewhere. I knew that I would not be able to set it up, though.
Yeah, so Kaapo Kähkönen and a future Kirill Kaprizov for Jacob Middleton. And that seems about fair. No, I like Jacob Middleton. I think he'll be fine. I don't think he's not going to be another, you know, Spurgeon, Brodin, Dumba level guy, but he could be a second, third pairing defenseman. He's very big. He's very good at clearing out the front of the net in the games that I've seen so far, which is something that Spurgeon and Brodin just don't do that well. And so it's kind of nice to have that. I don't think that's really not a strength of Goligoski or Merrill either. And so Middleton brings a little bit more pushing people around to the Wild that maybe they didn't have as much of. So that's good. And Tyson Jost has been good, better than I thought he would be. So
on that topic, I want to take a step back real quick about, you know, what we lost. Some, you know, second round, third round picks, Kähkönen, as we discussed. Nico Sturm, how does that affect the team?
It's a terrible, terrible loss.
Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're very, very sad here at the Wagomp about Nico Sturm because we are the founding members of the Nico Sturm Should Play More Club.
The NSSP. Yep. NSSP, yeah, no, excuse me. The NISPM.
Yeah, Nico Sturm was going to be a free agent after this year. He maybe would have come back for a reasonable deal. His girlfriend plays for the Whitecaps in Minnesota, so like he has a tie to Minnesota for sure. But it's one of those, like, you can't overpay your third and fourth line forwards, especially not with the cap crunch the Wild have. And so if they got the sense that they were going to have to overpay for him, it's better to trade him and get somebody else. Because Tyson Jost, they have another year on his contract, and signed for a reasonable number. I think like 2 million. So
yes, 2 million.
Yeah. So it's one of those like kind of a contract thing. If Nico Sturm was still available for less than $1 million, I say keep him.
Right.
If he's more expensive than that, then you're probably better off paying somebody else.
Yeah.
As much as I like the guy.
Yeah.
It's the business of being a fourth liner.
Yep. And he's been good at in Colorado too. Like he's got a lot of penalty kill minutes and he's been playing well. So good for him.
Shocker. Oh, I didn't know we traded into Colorado. Oh no.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shocker that a guy can step right in Colorado and be good.
Yes. Something about surrounding him with world-class talent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope he goes the Andrew Wiggins way. He's going up and now he's going down. That's what I meant.
You mean he's going to be an all-star starter next year?
Not these past couple weeks, at least. All right, so there's obviously one more, you know, kind of minor trade we should touch on before mm-hmm. we move forward. Some guy named Fury.
The flower. This is one of those things. So Kokkonen didn't look great over the last month or so, and Talbot didn't look great over the last month or so leading up to the trade deadline. And there were kind of some signs that maybe Talbot was figuring some stuff out. Some of this is hindsight, but it was like at the trade deadline, goaltending was a question for the Wild. And Marc-Andre Fleury was in with Chicago, and they're terrible, which is good because
they're terrible Chicago's on multiple awful. Levels. Yes, yes,
yes.
And he basically said that he didn't want to go to Canada. So there were like kind of like three or four teams that wanted goalies at the trade deadline: Edmonton, Toronto, Washington, and Minnesota. And so Edmonton and Toronto were out. And then he didn't want to go to Washington because that was too far away from where his family is living in Chicago. So he basically said, send me to Minnesota or don't trade me at all. And so they worked it out. And he came to Minnesota, obviously, for a conditional first-round pick. So if the Wild make the conference finals, so if they win two playoff series and Marc-Andre Fleury gets four wins in those two playoff series, then it becomes a first-round pick. If that doesn't happen, then it's a second-round pick.
Yeah.
I can live with that condition, I suppose.
So it's a first-round pick then?
If absolutely. They get that.
Not if Talbot keeps playing like he's been playing.
Yeah, right?
Oh, I see. Well, I'm sorry. He was being optimistic.
We could win those two series with Talbot, and then it's still not a first round pick.
They'll get Fleury three wins, and then they'll start playing Talbot.
Right. Uh-huh.
No, but I mean Talbot's been really, really good since the trade, especially since the trade.
Yeah, Talbot was the NHL first star of the week this week. he's been unreal since then. So, which is great.
Weird.
It's good to have two good goalies. Is Fleury good?
I was gonna say how do you see Fleury doing in the Minnesota system this year? Oh, actually, real quick, on top of that, is he signed beyond this year?
No.
Okay.
No. So Chicago
it is this year. Okay. Yeah.
Chicago retained 50% of his salary. So the Wild are not paying very much for Marc-Andre Fleury's services this year. So the goalie situation is right now, the Wild have Cam Talbot signed next year. Marc-Andre Fleury has said, according to Russo, that he would be interested in re-signing with Minnesota. But I don't know what that means as far as money. If we want to do a whole like salary cap section of this episode, the answer is the Wild have no money.
They don't have any money. Yeah.
So unless he's willing to sign for like $750,000, I don't
a bag think of a bag of hockey bucks.
Yeah. Unless they trade Talbot.
Right.
Right.
I think a few episodes ago we were talking about a prospect we have in the minors. Is he probably still like 2-3 years away?
Jesper Wallstedt.
Yeah, all the Wild goaltending prospects that are in North America have injured themselves and had terrible years. So, like, the goalie situation below Kaapo Kakkonen is like a desolate wasteland right now. So,
but there's one in Sweden, right?
There's the guy in Sweden. Yeah. He just came back. He was injured. He just came back and got a shutout in his first game back. He has looked really, really good all year long.
He's like, how old is he?
He is... He's 18 young, or right? 19.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He's like 19 and playing, you know, playing in the Swedish league, which has old age guys. And I mean, it's like, it's not like playing in juniors, right?
It's
not
like the Swedish league, I think I've seen comparisons that put it as the third or fourth best league in the world. Like NHL number one, KHL number two. And then it's like the Swedish league and the Czech league are kind of right there. Right. So.
Right. So yeah, this is like, I mean, this is better, even better than say like being a 19-year-old and doing well in baseball at high single A or something.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so, and this is one of those things, like everybody, all the armchair GMs have this all mapped out, right? He's going to come over. He's going to be our backup next year at the Minnesota level. And it's kind of like, we haven't really seen Minnesota really move their rookies along very fast.
Right.
And so I don't know if that's really reasonable, but also I don't know who else you're going to play as your backup. Because like I said, like there's nobody in the system else who's inspiring any confidence. So we'll see. Maybe it'll be Talbot and Fleury again, and Bill Guerin will work some magic somewhere else and make it happen. But that would surprise
me. I have a weird feeling that Fleury is the kind of guy who's just, he's going to come in useful in one very specific situation this year. I don't know what it is, but that is my premonition.
Well, and you only have to go back to last year, because Carey Price was, an old, mediocre goalie for the entire regular season. And then all of a sudden the playoffs started. He's like, oh yeah, no, I know how to do this. And Montreal went all the way to the Stanley Cup finals. So you don't have to go very far to find a veteran goalie who's been there before, who has a huge impact in the playoffs.
And Fleury is kind of used to that. So right. Hopefully we get right. A little bit of that magic.
Yeah. And Cam Talbot has done it too in the past. So,
well, as we have seen Fleury do again and again and again in the playoffs, but yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's that's a healthy coping mechanism. Okay, so how do we look this year? Where are we?
They're looking good. The Wild are an elite team at home. They're amazing at home. They are, what's their current home record is something, 23-7-1. So like when they're at home, they are pretty tough to beat. If they've been like extended homestands, they're amazing. Like if they played the previous game at home, the next home game, they're 16-1. So at home, a ridiculously good team, really hard to beat. The expected goal percentage is way off the charts. The Corsi is way off the charts. Their special teams are terrible, kind of no matter how you slice it. But it doesn't matter because they're so good 5-on-5.
Wait, that they is 6-on-5 considered special teams?
6-on-5 is not considered special teams.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, they're really good at home, and they've won enough games at home that they're currently second in the division. They have a healthy lead over St. Louis and Nashville. They have one game in hand over St. Louis with a 3-point lead. They have two games in hand over Nashville with a 4-point lead. So right now, they're comfortably in second place. The problem is that when they go on the road, they're very average. And so they have two more home games on this homestand, and then they have four road games against four playoff teams over the next week. And so including traveling to Nashville, traveling to St. Louis, the two teams that are chasing them. And so if they can somehow split those games, that would be great. And that would go a long way to securing kind of second place and home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs. But I think that's the goal. They're not going to catch Colorado, obviously.
No.
So they're probably going to play either St. Louis or Nashville in the first round as the 2 and 3 positions in the division. And then it just kind of depends on who ends up on top of that pile, because they're all reasonably close to each other, with Minnesota slightly ahead right now.
Hmm. So who would you rather play between the two?
That's an interesting question.
I tell you what, both of those teams. So I looked at this.
Kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I mean, they're both good. So, yeah.
They're both good, and they're both good in the ways that the Wild are not. St. Louis.
That was their problem last year. Yeah.
Yeah. St. Louis is fantastic special teams.
No, and even like, so the Wild's two weaknesses are penalty killing and goaltending, right? St. Louis and Nashville are two of the top three teams in shooting percentage and two of the top four teams in power play percentage.
And does not bode well.
Right. It's just kind of like, and the Wild are 0-4 against, or 0-3, excuse me, against those two teams so far this year. Right. So it's just like, it's not a great matchup for them. The playoffs are a different beast. All of these things are true. Home ice would be huge, I think, if they can get it. But yeah, like if they get St. Louis or Nashville in the first round, they have to find a way to find a competent penalty kill. And I think that that's why we didn't really get to the summing up of the trade deadline, but that's why you get Tyson Jost. That's why you get Jacob Middleton. These guys are penalty kill guys who hopefully make the penalty kill a little bit better.
And you get Marc-Andre Fleury, who hopefully makes the goaltending better.
Yeah, hopefully makes the save percentage a little bit better. Yep. But yeah, I think there's definitely, if the Wild played St. Louis and had home ice advantage, the Wild would be favored, but yeah. I don't think anybody would be super comfortable with it.
Right. Weirdly, the Wild have won more against Colorado this year than they have against St. Louis and Nashville.
Right. So they play Colorado better because Colorado is a 5-on-5 puck possession team the same way the Wild are. And so it's strength on strength, which is better for them.
You're allowed to swap out in the playoffs, right? You're like, can I take the higher seed, please? You can just
ask. Can we play Colorado first?
Well, and then, yeah, the Colorado is going to get the 8th seed. And so to play Colorado, the Wild would have to, like, tumble all the way down, you know, where Dallas and Las Vegas is. By the way, Las Vegas not making the playoffs would be amazing. I hope that happens.
Everyone in hockey is salivating over the idea that Vegas won't make the playoffs.
But the only way that happens is if the Fighting Ryan Suitors knock him out. So
yeah, so that means we have to cheer for Ryan Suitor.
Not ideal, but it could happen.
What are you going to do?
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know. Like, I think the Wild, it's the same fun team that they've been for the last 2 years. They are scoring goals like crazy. They're going to set new records for points. Kaprizov is 2 points away from the franchise record for points in a season. Zuccarello is 2 assists away from the franchise record for assists in a season. Ryan Hartman's going to score 30 goals. Ryan Hartman has never had more than 31 points in a season. He's going to have 35 goals this season, so...
Who are some of the standouts this season? I mean, Kaprizov has thankfully been Kaprizov this season, obviously. You're mentioning Hartman and such. Who's kind of gone above and beyond so far this season?
Matt Boldy.
Matt Boldy was really good. Yeah, his first 20 games were amazing. He hasn't scored in like 6 games now, so it'd be nice to see him get back on track going into the playoffs. But
so he's handled himself well this year.
Yes. 100%. Well, and I think everybody knew he was ready from the word go. There wasn't really a reason for him to go down to the AHL, but I don't know. I guess we had to give Rem Pitlick a couple games.
Did you see Rem Pitlick? Service time manipulation.
He still has the highest shooting percentage in the league.
He's on pace for the highest shooting percentage ever in a season, Rem Pitlick is. So. Yeah.
And actually, speaking of the young guns, how has Rossi been doing? He's back to the AHL. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's still in the AHL. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Yep. He played one game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has to play less than 9 this season, including the playoffs, in order for his first year to roll over to next year, his first contract year. So we won't see Rossi again, I don't think.
Well, there is service time manipulation in hockey. I didn't realize.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. But anytime you see like the rundowns of who's, you know, which players, points per game, expected goals per game, all that stuff, Rossi is consistently like in the top 5 or 6 in the AHL. He's going
to be good.
Very good at that level and probably ready for the NHL whenever the Wild decide to use him there.
Yeah,
I haven't really seen much from Beckman this year. I don't know if he got injured or not because I haven't really seen his name come up much. And then they have a bunch of third, fourth line guys that maybe we'll see next year and all that kind of stuff in Iowa as well.
Besides the names we've mentioned, Rossi and that Swedish goalie whose name I do not recall. Anyone else in the minors to be keeping an eye on in the near future?
So the defense core that's kind of coming up, like the next round behind, like once Dumba and those guys have moved on, will be Ryan O'Rourke and Damon Hunt and those guys. They made the Canada junior team. One of them went to the Olympics, and I can't remember which one it was. Ryan O'Rourke, I think, which was kind of cool. Like that, you know, we have prospects that are good enough to make the Canadian national team is a pretty cool thing.
It's nice to put on your resume.
Right. But they're still 2-3 years away.
I mean, it's amazing that there is a second major league Minnesota team that has a Ryan O'Rourke.
True enough.
Hey. And now I'm meeting again.
No relation.
That's Nimish's hockey contribution, everybody.
The thing that I find interesting is that Guerin went out and we have 7-8 defensemen right now. If you count Jordy Benn as an NHL defenseman, we have 8 NHL defensemen. We have 8 NHL defensemen on our roster, and none of them are Kalen Addison. I feel like Kalen Addison has shown that he is, like, whatever he's going to be at the NHL level, he's ready to be that.
Yeah.
He's not a big guy. He's not a defensive defenseman. I don't know. Like, it's hard to read what their plan is. Like, with Rossi, you see the plan, right? The plan is he's not playing this year in the NHL. He's going to play next year and, like, somewhere, right? Like,
he'll be center and goalie for the next 8 years.
Right, right. You see that plan. With Addison, Middleton's coming back next year. Brodin, Dumba, Spurgeon, Kulikov, Merrill, all these guys are signed next year. Jordy Benn and Goligoski are not signed next year, which is a good thing. But, like, we still have NHL defensemen who have played big minutes. Well, assuming that Middleton is, you know, not a disaster, right? We're going to have six NHL defensemen who play big minutes for us this year who are all coming back next year. When does Kalen Addison slot into this? And I don't know. And so that's kind of a developmental thing. Like Addison, Beckman, there's not really a spot for them. And so prospect-wise, it's great that we have all these world-class prospects, but also that kind of second tier of prospect, there's not really a spot for them in this team, which is a good problem to have. But also, I don't know when the cap crunch comes. Are we counting on those guys? Are we not counting on those guys? What is the plan? I don't see the plan for them right now.
All right. So
find out next time on the Wang Doodle.
Okay.
Just once in a while Wang Doodle.
The other thing, at the beginning of the year, I thought the answer was to trade Zuccarello. Like, he has a limited no trade clause after this year.
Yeah.
I thought they could trade him. He has got $6 million salary. And then this year he went and had a career year. He's going to set the franchise record for assists. He and Kirill Kaprizov are best friends. I don't think they're trading Matt Zuccarello in this offseason. And so to clear this space, I don't know how they're doing it. So if they're going to trade Fiala, if they're going to trade Dumba, I don't know. But someone is going to go this offseason. They can't.
They can't re-sign everybody.
I don't think they're going to trade Dumba either, but I think that means they're trading Fiala.
I agree. Yeah, I think it means they're trading Fiala too. Note, I didn't say Rossi's going to center Boldy and Fiala for the next X number of years.
As much fun as that would be.
Yeah.
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 All right. And one last thought. Let's pour one out for our good friend, Victor Rask.
Oh, did we ever have an Ask the DO morning section of the podcast? Because we could do that right now.
Yeah.
Victor Rask and Ask the DO.
We'll have to save that for the next one because we have other pressing matters to get to. Okay. We are going to quickly move on to some of our recent favorite videos, and how about Nibbish? Why don't you start first?
My recent favorite was the Cherry Glazer Time to Get Away video. I stole it from you, DG. I knew I was going to. So it's really hard to put into words how tough it must be to cover an LCD Sound System song without sounding like a complete dope, but it's really, really hard to cover it and make it sound like amazing as Cherry Glazer did. And I've been a Cherry Glazer fan for quite a while, but yeah, their whole vibe in that song is just absolutely spot on perfect. Yeah, I mean, it's honestly better than the original.
About Cherry Glazer, but every time I hear one of their songs, I'm like, oh yeah, I like this. And so I'm a Cherry Glazer fan while knowing absolutely nothing about what the band is or what their overall deal is.
I've had that happen before where it turned out I was a fan of Varg Vikernes, and then I was like, wait, I don't want to be a fan of what Varg Vikernes stands for, so never mind. But I can report, safely report, that Cherry Glazer is not a neo-Nazi black metal band who once murdered a dude.
dodge that bullet.
Well, I'll go next because I was gonna pick that one if neither of you guys had picked that one anyway. So
I think we all had a pretty solid lineup on that one.
But I just want to direct attention back to, because it turned out to be one of my favorite records from last year. I've posted a couple of videos by Snail Mail from that record. I posted a few weeks ago, song Glory, which probably is a better song even than the one I posted like when that record came out, whichever one that was. But Snail Mail is a band that kind of got a lot of juice on her first record. And, you know, while I liked it, I didn't really get the full amount of the hype, but I think she deserves the hype on the second record, Valentine. And yeah, it's really good. And like I said, justified the attention she's gotten. So check out Snail Mail, Glory.
I hadn't gotten first, and DG was able to pick my my first choice. My second choice was going to be Snail Mail Glory, and you hit the nail on the head. Her first album was, I'll even be a little less charitable for it, completely massively overrated, and this one was perfectly rated, if not even a little underrated. I mean, this was everything that the first album was supposed to be, only fulfilled and well realized. It was a great album, one of my top three favorite of last year for sure.
All right, DG, why don't you take it?
Oh, I thought you were gonna go and take my third pick, so that then I would have to find yet another video to choose.
I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that.
It's fine. Never coming back on this podcast again.
I apologize for this trespass.
I would go way back to last year. Carter Hayes, DJ Week. He played a Rodrigo y Gabriela track, and I really like Rodrigo Gabriela. And I don't think that this is a genre of music that I would ever really call myself a big fan of, like kind of the Spanish guitar, kind of classical guitar thing, but with kind of metal overtones. I don't know. It's a very interesting thing. So Rodrigo y Gabriela, Metavolution. It's a really good album in general. And this song is very much, if you want to know what their sound is, it's this right here.
I do admit I appreciate what Carter Hayes brings to the his DJ weeks. It's definitely a lot of what I haven't heard, but definitely like. And I'm just going to be boring, and I admit I was not originally on the Le Tigre train, but I got into it a year or so ago. I liked the first album a lot. I understand it goes a little bit downhill after that, but off the third album, I played TKO recently, and it's got a nice kind of Sleater-Kinney vibe, and it was just, you know, it's a classic, and it was worth playing and worth listening.
I've been hearing a Le Tigre song recently. I don't think it's that one, but I've been hearing that on the rotation recently. And I double endorse it. Le Tigre is pretty solid.
I was talking today on the website about some of my favorite tags. I always love to use the Power Trio tag, so that fits them well.
Le Tigre, for sure. Every so often, you get into the mood and vibe to listen to certain artists, and La Tigre is definitely one of those that just occasionally scratches that exact itch you're looking for.
Exactly right. All right, and thank you for joining us for another edition of the we hope to talk to you again sooner than last time, but
because we will have a Frankie Montas trade to talk about sooner.
That's
than
right. Last time. And a wild playoff win or two, hopefully. And, the T-Wolves for that matter.
Hopefully anyway, at least four.
At least. Oh, yeah. Well, good point. All right. We'll see you next time, guys. Thank you so much. Terrible sign-offs. My God.
That was the worst.
That's so bad. So bad.
God.
We have about 3 minutes left. any pressing topics we should get to?
Do we have any more quick Chris Archer thoughts that like snap onto that section that was like literally a minute?
Oh, yeah. We could put that in. I don't, but.
Okay. So we're going to need to edit in. I think that it's a on its own good signing.
Yeah! Cha-ching!